When comedian Paula Poundstone is not making people laugh as a panelist on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, chances are that she's traveling across the country and generating chuckles, chortles, and guffaws live in person. But she had to press pause on that. Like the rest of us, Paula was not traveling because of the pandemic. Despite being stuck at home, she used her spontaneous sense of humor to entertain her many fans virtually. Through her website and her social media streams, Paula kept the laughs going with funny videos and fan contests. Paula joined us from her home in LA to talk about her quarantine adventures and getting back out on the road.
Well, I miscalculated. I mean, in the beginning, I really thought it was going to be like a couple weeks, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I thought my next calculation was maybe a couple months. And I remember that was in March. And I remember I would say to my manager, I'd go, you know, because they kept moving the dates. They would call me and say, do you have your calendar? I said, yeah. They go, okay, move this date in March to June. Like that was how, to June. And I would say, you know, I'll do that. But I have a bad feeling. June's not happening either. And they would say to me, you're so negative. I don't know why you're so negative. And of course, a year and a half later, I believe I've been vindicated. But when I realized, like, we don't know when this is going to be over, I started making comedy videos, characters and stuff, and just putting them up on my website just to help get people through. Like, one of my favorites was I did a character named Miss Nancy, who was doing homeschooling, you know, not homeschooling, distance learning. So Miss Nancy was a teacher from Massachusetts. She had a first grade class in Massachusetts, and now she's talking to them, you know, through Zoom. And I was banging out those videos for a while, and it was a tremendous amount of work. And then I started to realize, you know, I think it's going to be even longer than that. So I applied to work at a grocery store.
Exactly. Problem solved.
Yeah.
We had comedian Marilyn Rice Cub on Beta, and she created this whole comedy special from her garage due to COVID. I'm wondering, have you changed your approach to creating material for your live events?
No. And I learned very early on in the pandemic, because one of the things that happened, I mean, within a day of me coming off the road is, and maybe it was because it was in the spring, I do a lot of fundraisers. You know, for organizations, right? Mm-hmm. And they tend to have their events in the springtime. And so many of those organizations that I had on this, some of them I did their fundraisers and some of them I had turned them down. And I had turned them down because I had a job on the road on the day that they were having their thing, because I'm usually booked pretty far ahead of time. Sure. So now, the one thing that they knew was, A, they couldn't do a fundraiser in a place with, you know, with performers coming on stage. So they had to, you know, move to silly Zoom and make it a streamed thing or taped thing or whatever. But the other thing is, they knew I wasn't on the road. So I got so many requests to do stuff for sort of not quite formed shows that they were using the internet or, you know, Zoom or whatever you want, whatever.
Virtual shows,
right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. But they didn't really know how to do it, and neither did I. And so, but it was to be a great and important event, but no one really knew how to. So I learned very early on. In fact, I never even tried to do stand-up per se on one of those shows. I always said to them, that won't work. And they'd go, oh, well, so-and-so did it. And I go, well, get so-and-so, because that won't work. It wouldn't work for me. So I would do characters. I would do interviews. I would do interstitial stuff of me commenting on something. But I refuse to stand in my living room and pretend that people in their homes are the same kind of audience as in a theater, because it isn't. So, yeah, but boy, even trying to find what did work in those settings was, it was a battleground. It was really hard to do. And it was hard for a variety of reasons. It was hard because you're getting no feedback from any kind of, you know, live crowd, of course. And people just respond differently when they're sitting on their couch than they do in a theater.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I did was I started doing a game show from my living room. That I did for, I don't know, a year? Mm-hmm. Or close to a year. And it was fun, but it certainly wasn't the same thing as performing to, you know, a live crowd. It's nice to be back in a theater with a live crowd.
We here at Beta are no strangers to figuring out remote production, and you're a part of one of public radio's biggest shows. How did you and your friends at Wait Wait handle the disruption?
Well, first you cry. Mm-hmm. That was the name of a movie of the week about a cancer sufferer.
Also, Seinfeld movie. First you cry, cry again. First you cry, then you cry again.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that. The first thing that they did was send all the panelists videos of somebody like Ira Glass or somebody from NPR recording in his closet from in between, like literally, not only was he in his closet, I mean, I have a walk-in closet. It's not that hard for me to record from in my closet. But Ira, I believe it had actually shoved some clothes on the hanger, on the rod, a little bit in one direction, and then some in another direction to make a space for himself so that his head was, it was in a chair with his head directly underneath the clothing rod. The reason they sent us this video was it absorbed the echo of the sound. They were telling us that we needed this kind of baffling, it replaced if you remember the old Hee Haw show, how they had the the chicken egg containers up on the wall. Mm-hmm. That was what they were looking for. We eventually moved away from, I mean, I think I recorded one in my closet before I was freed to move out into the, into my bedroom. But yeah, we all had to learn. I have an assistant, Wendell, who very kindly has helped figure out some of the recording stuff. And Lorna White from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a genius recording engineer. She can often figure out what's wrong. But we still have shows where everything seemed to go just fine. And then you get a call saying, there was something wrong with your sound. And what are those dreaded words that you hear from everyone you interview? I did everything the exact same as I did it before. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
And I have no desire to learn any kind of technology. Mm-hmm. None, zero. It doesn't fascinate me. It doesn't interest me. It generally doesn't make my life any easier. So, I'll be happy for all sorts of reasons when all this is behind us, but not the least of which is, I have proposed to Cher, just via Twitter, that if she would record a song called If I Ever Zoom Again, and I would write it if she agrees to record it.
There you go. Absolutely. What is your favorite thing about coming to Wisconsin?
What's not to love about coming to Wisconsin? is it just the cheese hats in the airport? Yeah, that's part of it. Sure. It's very beautiful there. That's part of what I love about it. And I always love the audiences. I often confess to them too early in the show that I don't care about football. Mm. And so there's sometimes a temporary breach, a cold patch, if you will, in our relationship. But eventually they warm up to me again and embrace me.
How could they not? Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand you've been eating Biscoff cookies, Europe's favorite cookie with coffee. What is it you like about them?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I just recently found them in a store.
Oh, only recently. Well, I've known about them for a few years. They're great.
No, the only place I got them for years was on Delta. Oh, and yeah. There were times I took flights. I didn't even want to go anywhere. I just flew someplace and back again just to get some cookies.
I think also there's like a Biscoff spread, like sort of, you know, like how, you know, peanut butter sort of like, not there's peanut butter in it, but it's kind of a spread, sort
That's
of like
insane.
Nutella. It is insane, yeah. But it's a good kind of insanity. I have never had the chance to, I don't fly very often, so I haven't had the chance to have them on, have a Biscoff cookie on an airline. What is that like? That's the really, what is it like?
It's unbelievable. I you know, and I think they do taste different with altitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's really great. And then what? And the other thing I like about it is that they come back by and take the wrappers, you know? Whereas otherwise, the ones that I buy in the grocery store and I eat at home, I just later have all these Biscoff cookie wrappers in my jacket pocket. And so I really like the service of them coming back. Like, they know I have a wrapper there somewhere because they remember delivering me the cookies. They're like, oh, you've got trash, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
You know, you say you don't fly that often. Well, of course, I didn't fly for the most of the year and a half, and everything. Yes. I mean, performing feels new. After 40, I think I've been a comic for 42 years now.
Wow.
And, you know, probably 40 years of that has been travel. Mm. and yet the first time that I was on my way to a job, it just felt so new. I turned to the passenger beside me and said, look how high we are. I don't know, everything feels new.
Yeah.
And some of it, I sort of welcome the newness of the feeling.
Oh, sure.
Although, I got to tell you, your body, it doesn't feel new to your body. My hips, after 5 minutes on the plane, were like, oh, yeah, I remember this.
Yeah. Besides touring, what is next for Paula Poundstone?
Not certain, really. I have a podcast. I have a podcast called
right.
Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And so that takes up, you know, a lot of my attention.
Yeah. What about a game show? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Paula.
Well,
what about mentioning the game show? You know, if Ellen DeGeneres can have all these game shows, or what, she has one or two, and Jane Lynch, why can't Paula Poundstone?
I don't know. I would enjoy that. And actually, you know, while I was just putting together, and I always referred to it as my goofy game show, it was called Nobody Asked You, starring Paula Poundstone, but I always referred to it as my goofy game show because it was just a homemade thing that I made in my living room. And it was fun, but it was goofy. And
Goofy's good, though. You say, but it was goofy, as if that's a bad thing. Goofy's good.
Yeah. No, you know what? I think that it was really what the doctor ordered at that time for the audience that joined me. I mean, we genuinely laughed and forgot everything for an hour a week making that show, and that was really welcome medicine. But I was so lucky that on my podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, while I was in the process of putting together the goofy little game show, I was able to get Alex Trebek to come be a guest on my podcast.
Nice.
And he coached me on making a game show. And
nice.
He was so generous with his time and his he was a really nice man.
Mm-hmm.
A really nice man.
Yeah. Well, he's Canadian, so of course he's going to be nice.
Well, I forgot all about that.
Look at me. Look how nice I am.
You know what? I didn't even put that together, but you're absolutely right. many, many, many years ago, there's an organization in Los Angeles called Actors and Others for Animals. And it is that. It's, you know, actors and others who raise money. It's an animal organization. And for years, they did these annual fundraisers. I'm sure they did one, you know, virtually this year. They changed the format of their fundraiser, their annual, you know, rubber chicken fundraiser, to a roast. And the first one that they did, they had a roast of Betty White. And I believe she was 102 at the time, and this is years ago. But so I was on the dais. I was on this panel of people that were going to roast Betty White. And we see Alex Trebek come on stage. And we're like, what the hell is Alex Trebek doing here? And Alex Trebek, when it's his turn on the day, roasting Betty White, he goes on stage and he was so damn funny. He stole the show. And there were funny people up there. He was the best. And part of it was just that it was such a surprise. We were like, why is Alex Trebek funny? It's just that he's not called upon or wasn't called upon to be funny in his role as the Jeopardy host. But in fact, he was great. That was a real treat for all of us and for our Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone listeners.
But I'm sure everybody listens to Paula Poundstone. Paula Poundstone, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure talking to you, but it's even more of a pleasure listening to you.
Well, thank you very much. It was so nice talking with you guys. Take care.
Paula Poundstone is a comedian and a panelist on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. She's also the host of the Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone podcast. You can find out more about Paula and her podcast at wpr.org/beta.
This is almost like the Ratatouille effect, where it's about the way that the food triggers a memory that you've had in the past.
Author Ron Friedman joins us to talk about the power of reverse engineering. That's coming up in just a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.